Please be seated. I invite Emily to come and share her gospel reading with us.
So John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And the whole Judean region and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the strap of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove upon him. And a voice came from the heavens, "You are my Son, the Beloved, and with you I am well pleased."
I'd like to offer you a few thoughts this morning on this reading and on Dr. King's day. What struck me this week in a new way was the bringing together of this passage, Jesus' baptism, the words to Jesus that he heard, "You are my Son, the Beloved, with you I am well pleased," and Dr. King's theme around beloved community. So here's some thoughts. I think most of us hear these words spoken, recounted in Matthew, Mark, and Luke's Gospels of Jesus' baptism, and we've heard them as words spoken only for Jesus. The affirmation of his special relationship to God, his calling, his destiny as the Messiah, the Christ, the chosen one of God, special, beloved. But some of you may also know that a number of years ago, Henry Nouwen, Catholic priest, theologian, and author, offered a different way of hearing these words in his book, Life of the Beloved, Spiritual Living in a Secular World. That book has become one of Nouwen's most important and widely read, and he has many. Nouwen invites us to hear these words, not just as words for Jesus being baptized that day in the Jordan, but as words also for us. He says this blessing is meant for all of us. We are all, each of us, God's children, God's beloved, created by God, chosen by God, to live lives that only we can live. Who we are before all else is God's beloved. Our original identity is not sinners, but beloved children. God loves us totally, completely. In our baptisms, we embrace the truth of who we are, God's beloved children. By our baptisms, both by water and the Spirit, we receive this profound blessing. We are God's beloved. Nouwen urges us to live into this truth, to claim it, to practice living it, because, he says, it blesses us, but it's also only as we really live into the truth, the reality of our God's love for us, are we able to love others. Because, of course, it's not just us. It's everyone. Everyone is God's beloved. Everyone is treasured by God. In that lovely book, The Shack, one of the lines I love is that God keeps saying to each individual, "I'm especially fond of you." Each and every one of us, God is especially fond of. God delights in us. God knows exactly who we are and how we got to be who we are today. God knows our talents and gifts and abilities, as well as our unique wounds and sufferings. God knows us. God gets us fully and completely. And as we are able to live into that, we are set free and empowered to have compassion for ourselves and for each other. Now it writes that when we claim and constantly reclaim the truth of being the chosen ones, we soon discover within ourselves a deep desire to reveal to others their own chosenness. Instead of making us feel we're better, more precious, or valuable than others, our awareness of being chosen opens our eyes to the chosenness of others. That is the great joy of being chosen, the discovery that others are chosen as well. In the house of God, there are many mansions. There is a place for absolutely everyone, a unique, special place. Once we deeply trust that we are precious in God's eyes, we are able to recognize the preciousness of others and their unique places in God's heart. The other insight that Henry Nouwen is best known for is that we're all wounded healers. That is, he says that our wounds, our brokenness, our suffering given over to God's love is what allows us to actually bring healing to others. So long as we try to pretend we've got it all together, we can't really join with anybody else. We can't really be with them. It is our woundedness, our honesty, our vulnerability that opens the way to compassion, a community. So Nouwen writes also that we may only have a few talents, but we all have many gifts. Our gifts are the ways in which we express our shared humanity. They are a part of who we are. Friendship, kindness, patience, joy, peace, forgiveness, gentleness, love, hope, trust. These are the true gifts we have to offer each other. These are the gifts of being in community with each other. And this week, as I read again this baptism story and was reflecting on Nouwen's thoughts, I made the connection to Dr. King's theme, his teachings about beloved community. It's a concept that he popularized, although it wasn't original to him. The quote on the bulletin cover was one of the ones I found that captures some of what he said. The end, he said, of all the work for justice, all the work, the end is reconciliation. The end is redemption. The end is the creation of beloved community. It's this type of spirit, this type of love that can transform opponents into friends. It is this type of understanding goodwill that will transform the deep gloom of the old age into the exuberant gladness of the new age. It is this love which will bring about miracles in the hearts of people. To work for the beloved community is to seek justice and love. You can't have one without the other. Beloved community is grounded in compassion, deep commitment to the well-being of others, even your enemies, especially your enemies. This is Jesus' teachings. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. And it's Jesus' way of living and his way of dying. The beloved community is the goal, and it can only be created through deep spiritual work and actions committed to compassion and nonviolence. We all know violence breeds more violence. We see it daily, played out before us on the news. We hear it over and over again. Violence leads to bitterness, to hatred, to more and more bitterness and hatred and violence. We are called to the more excellent way, the way of love. As Dr. King said, love is creative and redemptive. Love builds up and unites. Hate tears down and destroys. The aftermath of fight with fire method is bitterness and chaos. The aftermath of love is reconciliation. and the creation of the beloved community. Physical force can repress, restrain, coerce, and destroy, but it cannot create and organize anything permanent. Only love can do that. Love, which means understanding, creative, redemptive goodwill, even for our enemies, is the solution. I heard this week that the Justice Department has decided to seek the death penalty for the young man from Binghamton who went to Buffalo and slaughtered 10 African Americans 2 years ago. And the quote, of course, is so often is the case, now we'll find some measure of justice. No. What justice is there in the death of a confused, angry, bitter, embittered young man? Will those families feel better when he's dead? No. That is not the way. The way forward is always toward healing, toward reconciliation, toward rebuilding relationship, beloved community.